really want to start off the sermon by saying that today we're preaching about the Ninja Turtles and what it would be like if they met the Transformers, but sadly, that's not it today. I just wanted to scare everyone and have everyone be like, oh, no, okay, Ninja Turtles were... which cartoon? They're turtles, probably, you'd think, but... No, today's a much more normal sermon for y'all, so don't you worry. You don't have to go home and Google it, probably like you had to last time. Who is Bruce Wayne? Nope, this one's a much more normal one, so... It's always kind of hard to accept that Christmas is over, right? I mean, before even Thanksgiving rolls around, we're greeted with these advertisements and songs and decorations and everything else Christmas to remind us that Christmas is on its way. I mean, while Christmas may be the 25th of December, Christmas time is much more than that. Starting sometimes as early as October, we are reminded and reminded that Christmas is coming. We are all but commanded to get into the Christmas spirit. It is basically forced on us from every direction, and we not only accept it, but we greet it eagerly. We grab at that spirit and hold on as tight as we can. I mean, it doesn't matter that we have to shop for gifts and deal with super malls and meal preparation and travel and weather and sickness and whatever else comes at us during these months because, well, you better believe Christmas is on its way. And so we begin singing carols in our heads. We begin wishing strangers a Merry Christmas on the street. We put up lights and other festive decorations, and we buy Christmas CDs and Christmas DVDs, and we turn our channel to Hallmark for those 24-hour Christmas special marathons that run on that channel. Things that were once a chore become preparations for Christmas, so it's not nearly as bad. And then it's Christmas Day, and family is there, and you get to watch the faces of those who you bought gifts for, open them up, and you get to open up your own gifts. The food that you've been preparing in your mind since Thanksgiving is now actually prepared for you and served amongst sides that have been brought by all those other people. And, you know, there's games, there's hugs, there's laughs, and there's just love in abundance. More than any other day on earth in the entire year, probably. And then it's done. Christmas is over. And with it, Christmas time and Christmas spirit, all that that's been building up over the past few months, just comes to a conclusion. I mean, sure, the first few days after Christmas are kind of nice. You get to look at your gifts, and you get to kind of organize and put them away, and you get to watch as your children and the rest of your family do the same with the gifts that you bought them. But in the back of your mind, you've already started thinking about how you have to go back to work soon, and tax season is right around the corner, and maybe you probably shouldn't have spent nearly as much as you did on Christmas this year. I mean, after all, and I mean, soon the Christmas spirit is not only gone, but it feels like an eternity away. I mean, sure, Christmas was only a few days ago, but it feels like years since we all gathered together around that table with those you loved. Years since the presents were opened and the food was eaten and the carols were sung. But thankfully, New Year's is right around the corner. Thankfully, the holiday committee of old, or whoever came up, I don't actually know who decided the holidays, but I like to believe there's like a committee of people that all got together and decided, we're going to put this one here and that one there. Well, thankfully, the holiday committee of old knew that we would probably be sad after Christmas. So they decided, you know what, December 25th is pretty close to January 1st, so it'll be a good place for it because that way people can have something to look forward to after Christmas is done. And they won't be so sad, and they'll sell turkeys. Just kidding, that's wasn't even in here, but that whole, this is just running in the back of my mind. For those of you who didn't go to the Christmas program, you're probably really confused right now. New Year's is all about starting over. The beginning of a new year, a clean slate. The past year is in the past, and the new year is ahead of us, like a blank canvas waiting for the painter to lift his brush. This is where we are right now, on the edge of the new year, looking out at all the roads ahead of us and knowing that we have unlimited potential before us, and we don't really plan on squandering it. And now, as Christians, the day that we accept Jesus is our New Year's. That moment where our past becomes our past and our future becomes God's property. 2 Corinthians tells us in the 17th chapter in the 5th book that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. We are no longer the people we were before, but rather completely changed from the inside out to be God's children. And this change is significant. Just like 2013 will never come back, 2014 will never be 2013. It can't be. It's impossible. That is the difference in our lives from before and after. Therefore, we must live our lives with that understanding. And now the first lesson in our Christian New Year is that we have to understand what having a new life means. When the year ends and the new year begins, it can be a complicated time. It's hard to believe that the year is over and that we can never go back to that time again. We look back at the year and we know that that door is closed and locked forever. The same applies to us when we make that decision to accept Christ into our lives. We are no longer living in the time before, but rather we are living in a new age. And the first thing we must do is understand what that means. The verses continue on saying that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Remember that feeling I was just talking about? When you get to the new year and you feel like you have a new slate? Like your new year is a blank canvas waiting to be turned into a beautiful painting? When you look back at that last year and you see everything there, good and bad, and know that that part of your life is done and will never return. That is what this is like. When Jesus came, we were reconciled back to God. He did not count our sins against us. This means that when Jesus died, he gave us the opportunity to make a brand new year in our lives. To have a blank slate, an empty canvas. Prior to this one, our canvas was kind of black. Our slates were pretty dirty. We were anything but new. And then, through Christ, our relationship with God was reconciled. And our sins were not counted against us anymore. We are no longer seen as sinners, but rather as children of God. Which brings us to the next lesson. We need to recognize that this change from old to new is not our doing, but rather Christ's. Those verses don't say that God reconciled himself through us. It doesn't say that through our deeds we fixed our relationship with God. It doesn't say that we earned this reconciliation to God through our good deeds and through our, nice actions. Not once does it put credit on anyone but Christ. It says that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And this is the best part. This means all the heavy lifting is done. The worst is already over. This would be like someone coming up to you and saying, "Hey, do you want the best life ever?" Yeah. Good. Well, it can be yours for the small price of living a perfect life and dying an excruciating death. What? Yeah, you know. And if you can be divine and come back to life in 3 days, that would be helpful as well. Well, I guess I can't have the best life ever then, because the only one of those things I can do sounds pretty unpleasant, and I don't really want to go through that anyway, so I guess I'll have to stick with my average life. Sorry. Are you sure? I mean, I guess so. Okay, well, if you... Wait. Hold on. Never mind. Someone has already paid for your order. Looks right here like all those requirements were already met for you, which means all you have to do is accept this free gift. All I have to do is say that I want the best life ever, and you'll just give it to me. Yep, just say yes, and it's all yours. Yes. That's basically what these verses are saying. Your new life is yours for free. The payment was made, and reconciliation is yours for the small price of accepting it. That blank canvas is yours for free. But understand that when you accept that blank canvas, that your disgusting, black, smeared, broken, nasty one is gone. It will be thrown away forever, never to be found again. That part of your life is gone. The garbage has been taken out. You get a wave farewell as the trash truck drives away with your nasty old canvas as you stand there holding a brand new one, all for free. The only cost of this transaction is giving up your old canvas, which, let's face it, it didn't really go with the decor anyways. From here on out, you can fall back on the knowledge that through Christ you are a new creation. Through him and not yourself, luckily, you are no longer what you were. Your new year has come. And with each new year comes resolutions. And your new year as a Christian is no different. The verses continue in 2 Corinthians, telling us what our resolution for our new year as a Christian should be. It says that he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Imagine back to that last illustration we just talked about. Imagine you have just received your best life ever, for free. The transaction went through and you are standing there in your front door with your brand new life. And what do you do about it? Well, obviously, you go back inside, lock all the doors, and enjoy it all by yourself, and you don't tell anyone about it, right? No. You run out that front door and you tell everyone about it. You find random people on the street and tell them about this brand new life you just got for free. The best life ever is free, and you just want to tell everyone about it. You shout it out as you're no longer the old you, but rather something new. You let them know that you will never be that person you were, and that part of your life is over. You go door to door, exclaiming that this gift is not only for you, and it's not only the best gift ever, but it's for free. Then when you've totally sold it on them, you let them know that they can have it as well. Let them know that it wasn't just for you, but for everyone. Everyone can have this brand new life, and everyone can do it for free. Offer to show them the blank canvas that you have and tell them that, you know what, they can get rid of their old one as well. Now, sometimes people are pretty hesitant. They have always had their old canvas, and they're not always so willing to let go of it. People are scared of change, even if it means that their lives will infinitely be better. Change means something unknown, and that is where you can help them. Show them that it doesn't have to be unknown. You can walk through it with them. Show them how to start their new life. I mean, we're no longer just the recipients of this new life, but we are also now the sellers of this new life. We are the ones who must tell the world about this exciting product known as the New Year in Christ. And the message is extremely simple. 2 Corinthians tells us what it is. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's it in a nutshell, right? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we can be righteous through him. That one sentence says it all. It explains the gospel in one sentence. And it is officially our job to tell those who don't know about this the good news. And what better time than this season? People are sad right now, remember? Christmas is over. People are thinking that without the gifts and the Santas and everything else we've seen throughout these past few months, there's nothing left to celebrate now that the 25th has come and gone. But this is where you can come in. Tell them that while all those things are great and they're very nice and shiny, the celebration doesn't have to end there, because there is something far more important to celebrate. And that is the fact that Jesus came to this earth and paid a debt that we were never going to be able to pay. He took care of the bill that we owed. And as we come to this new year, you can let them know that not only do they have to have a new year to look forward to, but a new life as well. And not only a new life, but a better life. A life unlike anything they could ever have imagined, and that it can be theirs for free. So Christmas may be over, but all that means is that New Year's is right around the corner. And I want your New Year's resolution to be that you'll be an ambassador for Christ this year, and that you'll spread the news that this new life that you enjoy can be anyone's for free. Everyone deserves a new year, and you can offer it to them, and Jesus can give it to them. Will you pray with me? Lord, we want to thank you that you are the incredible God that you are, and that you are offering us this new life and this new year, and that you have blessed us with this opportunity, Lord. We know that we are undeserving, and that there's absolutely nothing we could do to ever make up for what we have done, Lord, but you are a loving God who doesn't care about that. You are a loving God who sees past our mistakes and makes us new, Lord. And we want to pray that you'll be with us in this upcoming year, and that you will lead us as ambassadors to our neighbors, Lord. That you will help us as we proclaim the news of this incredible gift that we have been given, Lord. And that you will use us as instruments, Lord, for that, Lord. We want to thank you that you have given us this message, and the message of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.